You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome, welcome. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another fantastic edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. As usual, I am your host, HD. I'll be with you until 8 p.m. this evening, coming to you live from the capital city here on your number one favorite talk radio station. Today, I have a jam-packed show for you. We're going to be touching on several different topics. We'll be joined by a special guest in about 25 minutes, coming to us all the way from Tsumeb. But we'll get into that in just a few moments after we do our local sports news roundup. But as usual, make sure you're following us on all of our social media pages. That's Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, X, WhatsApp. If you need our WhatsApp number, it's 081-200-4144. That's 081-200-4144. And make sure that you have downloaded the Eagle FM mobile application. This wonderful mobile application lets you listen to your favorite talk radio station wherever you are in the world. Wherever you are, you find yourself in the world, whether, you know, maybe you're in China with the president. Maybe you're in the USA watching the World Cup. Maybe you're in Europe on holiday. Maybe for whatever reason you went to South America. Fear not. You can tune into your favorite talk radio station wherever you are on the go through the Eagle FM mobile application as well as the Eagle FM website. That's www.eaglefm.com.na. And if you happen to have missed your favorite show on Eagle FM, you know, maybe it's not just the Eagle Sports Zone, maybe Unpacking the Day, maybe Kusamosha with Tate France, The Home Run, whatever show it is that you like on Eagle FM, you know, you missed the slot for whatever reason, no problem at all. You can simply go to the podcast section that's available to you both in the mobile application as well as the Eagle FM website. Just type in the name of your favorite show, maybe the topic, if you remember the topic, and voila, you can listen to it as many times as you want, wherever you want. We make things easy for you here at Eagle FM. Now, ladies and gentlemen, today, like I said, we will be going, you know, in different directions, not really too centralized. We're going to spend a bit of time on the World Cup as well as per usual. But let us first touch on some local sporting news. And we're going to start with some brothers. That is the Kraft brothers, Namibia's beach volleyball champions and beach volleyball, you know, emerging talents. The Kraft brothers, that is Max and Yura, are on a Europe tour right now, where they played in three futures tournaments. These are kind of, I guess you can say, developmental tournaments. But they played in Turkey, where they finished 9th out of 32 teams. They winning $300. Then they played in Poland, where they finished 13th out of 32 teams, where they won $150. And they finished 9th over in Belgium, where they won another $300. And now put in Namibian dollars. Let me just do some quick mathematics for you here. Put in Namibian dollars, the brothers have won around 12, let's say between 12 and 13,000 Namibian dollars playing at beach volleyball, representing the nation in the sport of beach volleyball. And actually, the duo is now ranked 121st in the world, which might sound like a, you know, like a low ranking, but that makes them the second highest African pairing on the continent. Number one is Mozambique. They are ranked first in Africa and 87th in the world. Now, I didn't quite think that there would be such a thing as a world ranking in beach volleyball. So good to see. Well done to the Kraft brothers flying the Namibian flag high. Now, speaking of flying the Namibian flag high, we have Namibia, who has been crowned the Special Olympics Unified World Cup Women's Division champions over in France after beating Egypt on penalties following a goalless draw in the finals. So, again, fantastic to see the range of sports that we have, you know, Namibians representing the nation in. Here we have football at the Special Olympics. Ladies football, that is, as well, in a Special Olympics competition. So in the group stage, we beat Azerbaijan 5-0, and then we lost 1-0 to Guatemala. That was before we tied 1-1 with the United States of America. So that meant that Namibia finished second in our group with 4 points behind the group winners, Guatemala, who finished on 9 points. They won all three of their matches. Then in the semifinal, we defeated France, host France. And then in the final, we took on our fellow Africans, that is Egypt, beating them 5-4 on penalties. This was following a 0-0 draw. So congratulations to the Namibia Women's Special Olympics football team once more. Then on the football side of things, some positive news in the football side of things, where we have Namibia's very own Stoffel Witbier, the 24-year-old, has successfully passed his trials over at Scotland. That is the team in Zimbabwe, I believe it is. Yes, it is in Zimbabwe. And they are now officially in the process of signing him. The negotiations between the two, between Scotland and Okahandja United, which is where, you know, Witbier has made his name. They are currently negotiating to finalize things. But it is reported, and this report is coming to you courtesy of our good friend that is Footy Namibia, it is reported that Scotland has offered $60,000 for the rights to sign Stoffel Witbier, and that's approximately $982,000. So Stoffel wasn't the only one on trial at Scotland. And there's players from AmaZulu, that's the South African side. There's players from Botswana. There's players from Ghana in this trial period. And again, it is reported by Footy Namibia that Stoffel is the first player so far to, you know, pass their assessment of talent. And do you remember the number in the series? 0832888401. That's 0832888401. We'll be back right on the other side of this.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. And as we continue here with the local sporting news here on your number one talk radio station, that is Eagle FM Namibia. On the running side of things, we had Lavinia Haitope as well as Matthias Simon. They represented Namibia at the Botswana Life Classic Run. That is a national half marathon. And they placed in the top two of the 21.1 kilometer events, with Haitope who won the women's division, while Simon finished as the runner-up in the men's division. So congratulations to our runners representing us well in Botswana. Then we had some rugby action as well taking place in the capital. We had the Velvichas Invitational 15 taking on the Vodacom Blue Bulls. Now, before I tell you the score, let me just explain to you what this Velvicia side is. It's not exactly the senior Velvicias, you know, the team that we see going to the World Cup. It's not the same. So the Velvicias Invitational team, this is a, as I said, a team that competes under the national emblem and represents Namibia in official international test rugby matches. But the Velvicias Invitational 15 is a separate, is a separate representative team name used for specific competitions, tours, as well as developmental fixtures. And so this team, this squad, includes a number of new and emerging players as part of the union's rebuilding and player development strategy, which is, of course, aimed at expanding the national player pool and strengthening the depth for future international campaigns. And at least on paper, this, you know, this is a great thing for a union to have, a federation to have. I'm thinking of, makes me think of the Brave Warriors. How beneficial it would be if the Brave Warriors had something like this. There's something like this in our football structure. But then again, I actually don't know if FIFA allows for this, because I'm thinking now, I don't know of any country in the world that does this on in the football side of things. I actually didn't know, even know it was a thing in rugby as well. But nonetheless, good to see our rugby players being developed, getting an opportunity to play on, you know, stages bigger than the local stages that they're used to. Vodacom Blue Bulls, as we know, a household name in the rugby world, especially in South Africa. So good for our players to play against players they might have been watching on TV every weekend. So, but score-wise, we didn't fare too well. We lost 43-35 to the Vodacom Blue Bulls. But again, this was about experience, which I'm sure our boys, you know, made the most out of and learned valuable lessons. Staying in the rugby side of things, the United Rugby Club has finalized a 3-year sponsorship deal worth $1.5 million with South African company Montagu Pet Nutrition. This agreement guarantees the club $500,000 each year to fund its rugby initiatives and general growth, which I find a very interesting deal. You know, we have rugby clubs signing with South African companies. That might be a first in the rugby world. But it just goes to prove, if you're a sports entity, sports federation, sports league, whatever it is you may be, if you can prove to someone that them spending money with you is a worthy investment, they will do it. And kudos to the United Rugby Club. You know, Namibian sports, our sports conversations are often taken up by the fact that there's no funding. I feel like we almost never talk about Namibian sports without bringing that up. So United Rugby Club, kudos to them for being able to go out and getting this sponsorship or investment, however you want to see it. The fact that it's a South African company as well is very, very interesting to me. And I'd like to see this replicated across other sports as well. You know who I'm talking about. Anyways, we move on to a Vintage Gymnasium private school football team is currently over in Sweden. They will be back on the 15th of July. They are taking place in the Gothia Cup over in Gothenburg in Sweden. So fantastic opportunity for those young Namibian footballers, again, getting that international exposure. We recently had African Stars Academy over in Madrid, Spain. So it's good to see what these clubs, what these schools are doing to give our youngsters that international exposure. And again, these are private institutions doing this. You know, the government says that they need help in executing their ideas, in executing their plans. So these two that I just spoke about are examples of that, meeting the government halfway and aiding in the sports development of our young stars or potential young stars. We move over to wrestling, where we had Lazarus Haimbodi represented the Namibian Wrestling Federation at the Grand Prix of Spain over in Madrid. He won a bronze medal at this Grand Prix representing Namibia. And this competition ran from the 10th of July up until the 12th. It ended today. And this bronze medal from Lazarus is the first time that a Namibian wrestler has stood on the podium at such a tournament. So congratulations once more. Let's actually give him a resounding round of applause. Congratulations to Mr. Lazarus representing the Namibian nation. Well, now we'll take a short musical break and then we'll get in touch with our guest for today, who is Benson Kambobo, all the way from the Coppertone Girls Football Academy. We will be back right on the other side of this.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Oh, Pablo, look at that. That is Nama, but I will look at that. You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone right here on your number one talk radio station, that is Eagle FM, and I am now joined on the line by our special guest, that is Mr. Benson Kambombo. Mr. Benson, are you still with us?
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for making time for us. So, you know, maybe if you can, just give the listeners a brief background of who you are and what brought you to where you are today.
All right, my name is Benson Kambombo. I am the founder and the coach of Coppertown Girls Academy from Chumep. I am so much passionate about women football, and not only women football, but shaping our young girls into becoming great leaders in future.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what also, you know, inspired me to open a team. So I am so much passionate about women football all in all. Yeah.
Were you a footballer yourself?
I was a footballer, I was a goalkeeper myself, okay. But didn't really, you know, go into football, but then I had so much passion about being a leader, and that also drove me into becoming a coach.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, tell us about this Coppertown Girls Football Academy. What that, give us the history about the academy and the reason why you started this academy.
Well, all right, thank you. The reason why we started Koppatown Girls Football Academy in Zumeb is because we saw that everyone that is creating a team, starting a football team, mm-hmm. is just male football, made football. And I was like, no, let us do something out of nothing. Let us bring out something unique. And I sat down and I saw that, no, the lack, what we are lacking in our town is women football.
Yeah.
And I saw that, no, women football is a growing factor in our country. So I was like, no, let us give it a try. And we are glad that, you know, we produced good players,
mm-hmm.
the likes of Lena Alwendo, we call her Superstar Pogba. And so we really just, you know, started this thing out of nothing. And at least so far, we are proud to say that we have put players within the national team, within the Women's Super League and so forth. So, yeah, we are glad. We are so happy about it.
What year did this academy start?
We started back in 2021,
mm-hmm.
and it has been up and running ever since.
So, you're based in Zumeb, correct?
Yes.
How has the community received this academy? Are people happy with the team?
People are happy, and they do support. But then the most difficult thing that we are facing is that, you know, we have lack of equipment.
Mm.
It's very difficult to train the kids, these young kids that are growing up with just one soccer ball. And so people do support by mouth, but not by action, so to say.
Yeah.
And so we have a lot of struggles that we are facing here and there, but that won't stop us to achieve what we want to achieve.
No, that's excellent to hear. And how many girls are in the academy at the moment, and what age groups do you offer?
Oh, at the moment, as we speak, we are starting from the under 15, mm-hmm. under 17, under 19, and then what we call the senior team.
Yeah.
And but then mostly we just call it a mixed team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but then we have up to 4 age groups, and we have plus minus 20 to 30 girls as we speak.
Excellent. And as a co-founder, do you think the girls have enough? Do the girls play in tournaments? Do they play in a league? Or exactly where do they get their match experience? Because I know in the north, you know, women's football is a bit scarce. So maybe you can give them.
Very, very scarce. Very, very scarce. And that is one of the most important things that we are facing, important factors that we are facing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are the only team for the past 5 years now in the town of Zumeb. So if we have to play friendly matches, if we have to play tournaments, it's difficult because we always have to be the one to travel out of Zumeb.
Yeah.
And if we have to play within the town of Zumeb, we have to play with obviously boys because, you know, the boys teams are a lot. So we have to play with the under 13s, under 15s,
mm-hmm.
and maybe sometimes school teams. So it is the most difficult thing is the funding to keep this thing up and running.
Yeah.
As I said, yeah.
So if you don't mind sharing, how is the academy currently being funded?
At the moment, our main sponsors are the parents.
Okay.
And yeah, the main sponsors are the parents. We do something, we write obviously contribution letters, and the community here and there helps, but then it's a difficult thing to just secure a sponsorship out of, you know, the community.
Yeah.
So we tried our utmost best. And our parents are the only ones that are, you know, being the current sponsors as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, speaking of these difficulties, share with the listeners about the overall women's football landscape in the country. What are some of the challenges that maybe other than funding now that people don't know about when it comes to women's football?
Lack of equipment, as I said, lack of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Trust also from the community, from the, you know, corporate world, like the businesses and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Because we believe that, no, women football is not as active as men football. So number one, what we are facing as difficulty is, as I said, lack of equipment, funding, and traveling cost, and potential sponsors that will stay with us to grow these kids into potential footballers and leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
100%. And, you know, if you
if you were able to speak to any of the decision makers in football, or maybe even the Ministry of Sports, what would you say to them?
Well, we will say that, you know, they should, you know, give us a chance to prove ourselves as not only Koppertown, but as women football in Namibia. We want a stage where we can expose these youngsters into becoming great stars for the country, mm-hmm. and for their families as well. Mm-hmm. Because football is not only for the benefit of the club or the benefit of the country, but for the benefit of the families of where they are coming from. Yeah. Most of these kids are coming out from poor backgrounds, and what will make a change in their families is if they become professional players on a professional level where they get a monthly income. It will bring a lot of transformation in their own lives and their families' lives. So we would love to invite the government, everyone, you know, just to give us a chance, mm-hmm. as women football to bring up these stars the way they're supposed to be brought up.
Yes, most definitely. And, you know, women's football has been on the rise in Namibia. We know, especially on the international levels. And speaking of that level, what did the Brave Gladiators recent, COSAFA win mean to the girls that are in your academy and to women's football overall?
Yo, that was huge. That was definitely, definitely huge because, you know, these kids' dreams are obviously to become one of the national players one day. But then for these kids to become to that level, they need proper training.
Yeah.
So it was very huge. It was, you know, as we said, one of our stars is Yena Aluendo. She started with us. She started playing football with us. And, you know, we found some young players calling themselves that, no, my name is Pogba. And it is such a great joy to you know, to see, rather than calling foreign based players, but calling one of our own players in the country. It is such a great joy. Mm-hmm. So what the Brave Gladiators did is something very, very, very huge. And, we believe that we can obviously achieve more and, bring a lot of trophies and bring the country on the map worldwide.
100%. And,
yeah.
Hopefully the Brave Gladiators continue to shine, especially with, you know, the talent that's coming from places such as, your academy.
Yes.
So, Mr. Benson, I heard about this, sanitary pad donation campaign. Can you tell the listeners about this campaign and how they can contribute towards it?
All right. Well, what I picked up, during my journey with these kids is that, as I said, these kids are coming from a poor background, and sometimes they are shy to go to school because of the menstruation cycle and so on. So we just came up with an idea initiative where we decided that, no, we will be collecting sanitary pads from individuals all over the country, and we'll be choosing one or two schools per year, not only our academy, but then we are focusing for more than 100 or 200 girls per year.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be getting sanitary pads and just to keep these kids in school, because our vision and mission is just not to keep these kids to play football, but then to become great leaders. So the only way they'll become great leaders is if they're educated as well.
Yeah.
So to keep them in school, we need to at least help them halfway and, you know, give them cosmetics, sanitary pads, just to bring their confidence back in their lives. Yeah.
100%, and it's a great initiative. And how can people donate to this campaign?
Well, they can contact me on 081-708-5937. I repeat, 081-708-5937.
Excellent. And how can, if someone is in the Tumeb area, they have a daughter, how can they join your academy?
We have application forms as we speak. They can give me a call, or go to their respective teachers, like especially the life skills teachers knows Koppertown, since we are the only football in town.
Mm-hmm.
They will give me a call and would register the child and give the child proper training that the child deserves.
100%. Mr. Benson, thank you very much for your time today. Is there anything else you'd like to share before I let you go?
Oh, no. Thank you very much for the opportunity and for the chance to, you know, present this wonderful initiative to the country at large, and we hope that you know, the companies and corporate companies, individuals will come on board and you know, make this thing a success for us.
100%, and we hope so as well, and we'll hear from you in the future as well. Thank you very much for your time this evening.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that was the co-founder of Coppertown Girls Football Academy, Mr. Benson Kambombo, speaking to us about women's football happening in the north in Sumeb. They're the only women's academy in Sumeb. So it goes to show, you know, that sport in the country can only grow if us, the people, contribute to its growth. The number in the studio is 083-288-401. That's 083-288-401 if you'd like to chime in. We will take a short musical break, and then we will tune into some World Cup news, World Cup action, all kinds of things happening in the World Cup. We'll be right back.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Jars of Vaseline for only $25 Namibian. Smell fresh with Playboy roll-on deodorant for just $18.99 Namibian. Get 2 kilograms of Surf's hand washing powder for just $49.99 Namibian. Get 750 milliliters Sunlight dishwashing liquid for $28.99 Namibian. And get 2 boxes of Cares Maxi sanitary pads for only $12.99 Namibian. You say, where else?
Where else but you save? We'll be right back. What's up, baby?
Yeah.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone right here on your number one talk radio station. As usual, I am your host, HD, and now, thanks again to our host, Benson, but now we will be talking to our guest, Benson, but now we will be doing some World Cup talk. And before we get into the score lines and all that, you know, here on the Eagle Sports Zone, we like to look at the business of sport, and I want to share some interesting things when it comes to the World Cup. I want you guys to realize how much money, you know, is being made at this World Cup. We're all very entertained by the World Cup, but at the end of the day, this is a business. So take a listen to the level of business that the World Cup consists of.
Yeah, but FIFA is already gaming the system to make sure the U.S. can host it again in a decade. And it's all because of money. Let me explain. This year's World Cup was designed to print cash. It's the first one on U.S. soil in 32 years. FIFA expanded the field to 48 teams, the stadiums are massive, and American fans are used to paying absurd ticket prices. For FIFA, this was the perfect setup, and it's paying off. After generating around $6 to $7 billion in revenue during the last two cycles, FIFA will generate a record $13 billion in revenue and $10 billion in profit during this cycle alone. But FIFA can't just hand the U.S. another World Cup right away. Too many countries want it, so they had to get creative. You see, FIFA has a rotation rule where once your confederation hosts a World Cup, you're blocked from hosting the next two tournaments. So, because North America has 2026, the US can't host in 2030 or 2034. Fair enough. But then, FIFA made 2030 weird. They gave the main tournament to Spain, Portugal, and Morocco, knocking out Europe and Africa. They then added Uruguay, Argentina, and Paraguay for one match each. One match. That's it. And suddenly, South America is technically tied to 2032. Then 2034 goes to Saudi Arabia, taking Asia off the board. So by 2038, do the math. Europe, block. Africa, block. South America, block. Asia, block. North America, eligible again. Which means FIFA can look around and say, well, who has the stadiums, the airports, sponsors, the TV money, and proof that they can generate more revenue than any World Cup ever? The answer is obvious. The United States. FIFA will tell you that this is just a byproduct of their rotational system. But it sure looks like they intentionally built a rotation to end right back in America.
Ching, ching, ching. Commercially, this World Cup has obviously been a resounding success, and FIFA has already come, it's already been reported that they've made the most money ever. They said they would come in making I believe it was $13 billion US dollars in revenue, of which, if I'm not mistaken, yes, it is FIFA projected $13 billion in revenue for this World Cup cycle. So from 2023 to now. Eagle FM, good evening.
Yes, good evening, my brother, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay, man.
Yes, what would you like to share with us?
Yes, man, we are watching World Cup. even African countries, they are not really doing well. Except, I think I was impressed by Cape Verde.
Yeah, Cape Verde, they did well.
Yeah, they did well. Really. Just imagine, you are first time, then you lose only one game in the another stage.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's something I think as a Namibian, maybe to consider.
Definitely.
Yeah, if the people of 500,000, they can qualify, what about us, 3 point something?
Yeah, the size of Vintage, yeah. Basically.
Exactly, you see now.
Yeah.
I think it's all about finance. If we start funding sports, I think we can go a long way.
Yeah.
If you just listen to the gentleman who was interviewing, Copa girls, they come from the Copa town, where there are a lot of, I think there are two or three mines, if I'm not mistaken, operating in the area of Chume. Why they cannot come to IT when the girls are needed them the most?
Yeah, exactly. They should be one of the biggest sponsors, actually, even.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
What I'm saying, these people didn't take it as serious when it comes to leaders. That's a responsibility. No way to be found.
Uh-huh.
And if you look, there are well companies in established companies. They are not coming to. Just imagine, even our RFP,
dare to go to extend the arm to go to South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
What about our local company?
Exactly.
Where are they? The thing is that I think people need to be pushed in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can talk and talk, but nothing really happening. Because if you can check me, why is South Africa developing? Anyway, I started, but I was supposed to have it with a contract to Jaden, Adam's family. It's very sad.
Yeah, no, it's very, very, very sad.
Very, very, yeah.
Did you hear about the rugby player also that passed away?
Oh, from South Africa again?
Yeah, South African rugby player. He was playing in France, but then they said he collapsed after training.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they just imagine the guys just make it from World Cup now. Now something happened like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll give it a life to the heavens.
Definitely.
But, yeah. Okay, let us go to the. You see, the thing is that when you check the company around it, especially around window,
mm-hmm.
we have a lot of guards. But they are not really throwing it back to the community where they are operating. But I'm telling you, if you go to, like, talking about the Volkswagen, even everybody driving Volkswagen to go out with Golf, TTI, Polo, but they don't come to aid. You go to the taxi drivers, everybody's driving down Japan, but where are they?
Yeah.
Where are they in our football or even just netball?
Mm-hmm.
We almost are about to start our race. But I don't think we will find the exposure yet when it comes to NFL.
Yeah, not yet.
Just remember, we are just about like a month to start.
Yeah.
But there's nothing. And remember, the government even come and say, no, they are not going to fund any sports organization.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you wonder, if they are not going to sponsor, even the people who used to work there, some of them may lose their job. Especially like a sport commission. You talk about it. There are a lot of federations involved.
Yeah.
And I think if they are not going to fund, then they must come up with what? A levy.
Yeah, the ministry said they are going to introduce a levy, but it's over a year now, still nothing.
Yeah. And you wonder why some of these important things, why they take long to be debated in on our parliament.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are defeating some of lawless, engagement, like where you are even talking about GDP or what they call this gay and lesbian. This is, but we have more important things like sports.
Exactly.
But nobody's talking about it.
Exactly.
Nobody's talking about it.
Yeah.
And I don't know why our parliament. We have young people who are supposed to understand what the sport can do in the country. But I'm telling you, they are all of them. Maybe I understand that most of them, they never play sport in their school. That's why they don't care about it. Because only you are just going to be interested if you know what that sport does.
Exactly.
To people. That's all. When you get involved, it's where you can see yourself that, yes, we need to start funding this.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need a levy in this country, seriously. Because we cannot just go on like this.
100%.
Yeah, when you see Cape Verde qualifying, it's because they put so much money.
Mm-hmm.
And they are now, when you qualify to World Cup, it's more bonus even. Because you get your country gets a lot of millions coming back.
Exactly.
Your country, and you're able to develop some stadio facilities.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about sending your guys, it's quiet. I don't see anything. I'm always passing there. And there was a talk about like, no, in October that should it will be used. Then you look, when you pass there, there's nothing. You can see that, yes, that thing, please. And they wonder, what's the million which they're talking about was budget for?
Mm-hmm.
To what? To improve that stadium.
Exactly.
No, I think it's our time, man. our country ready to do something. Because if we just talk and talk and talk, then there's nothing really we can see in the ground that's taking place. I think Lino Barrot is trying his best, but soldiers, we need a backup.
Mm-hmm.
You need a backup.
Yeah, ready. I'm in full agreement with you.
Yeah, it's a hard time. Oh, let us go to World Cup now.
Yeah.
My friend, I'm disappointed with our country. Especially Senegal and Morocco. Not Morocco. And Egypt.
Yeah.
You can't lead 2-0 then you. My friend, you end up losing game in the
85th minute onwards.
Hey, man, you're still leading 2-0.
It's very bad.
They are saying people, the referee low blame, but seriously, you give a game away.
Mm-hmm.
You are having people tied like Salas. You just need to take him out. The guy was threatening the defender of the Argentinian. You take him out.
Let's take a quick commercial break and then you can finish up.
All right.
We'll be back just now.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood. Call NHB on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
All right, welcome back. Are you still with us?
Yes, my brother.
Yes.
Let me conclude, maybe so I can give other people a chance to come through.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Egypt is leading 2-0 in 86 minutes. What do you need to tell your guys just to keep the ball? What else if you want to attack for what? Because the moment there's just a lot of mistakes. The attack and the Argentina counter-attack, then they score. Then that is what they cost them. So they just have to keep the ball. Even if to go to penalty, it was better.
Yeah.
But yes, I think there's something also going on with this Argentina. It cannot just be a corny accident. Yesterday, for them to win the game, the striker have to get a red card. Now?
Yeah, it's true. There's a lot of strange things happening.
Yeah, something really... No. I think there's something you need to be investigated.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, Argentina, if you count, they play like a 12 match and they receive 8 penalties. In the whole play, you see now. Really, I think, it cannot just be connected. There must be like some bias, seriously. Because I'm telling you, in the game of women, it's Morocco who lost to Argentina the last time. I think it's Morocco.
Yeah, it was Morocco.
Yeah. No, it's Egypt. It's Egypt. We are mistaken. It's Egypt. If you look, the guy's call, he takes his t-shirt out, but he never even receives a yellow card. Even just the coaches. There are so many things again we can pinpoint that Argentina players are getting away with it. A beautiful call from Egypt. Now you have to send back the ball where it started. And actual God always revealing the truth. It's what happened to Mohamed Salah.
Yeah.
For that ball which went to be a goal.
Yeah.
And then nothing happened. You see now. Something is not okay, man, that tournament. That's why most of people are even staying away to watch that game. I mean, that tournament. Because it's too much surrounded by controversy when it comes to whistle. I mean, this guy was referees.
Yeah, there've been a lot of controversial refereeing decisions at this tournament.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And remember, these are most people who cannot make error.
Exactly.
Because you are costing a lot. Yeah, you are costing other countries. Anyway, that's only my point which I have for tonight, my brother.
All right. Thank you very much for calling.
All right, Ned.
Take care.
Yes, thank you to the caller. The number in the studio is 0832-88-401. That's 0832-88-401. You know, the listener made some good points about the World Cup. You know, I don't want to get too emotional, but the refereeing decisions at this World Cup. Dios mios. You know, one would think with all this technology that they supposedly have, it would reduce the amount of time and energy we spend talking about refereeing decisions. Right? But still, after it feels as though after each match we find ourselves talking about refereeing decisions. You know, sometimes I think maybe it's just better we go back to the old days where you just accepted if the referee got something right or wrong. Now, every single thing is under the microscope. FIFA's explanations for things don't make sense. You know, people are starting to question, genuinely question the integrity of the game, and it shouldn't be that way. And the listener made a good point about the Coppertown Girls Football Academy. You know, there's a reason they're called the Coppertown Girls Football Academy. Tsumeb is essentially a Coppertown, like the listener said. There's a couple of mines out there. Why aren't these mines involved in the supporting, in the funding of such an academy? I should have asked Benson, actually, what has been the outreach like for sponsorship, and what has been the feedback for sponsorships? You know, maybe we can get that answer from him in the coming week. Because, you know, sometimes these companies will say, oh, no one approached us. We would have if someone approached us. So maybe that's the case. Or maybe they approached them and they simply said no. Which we very well know is what happens often in the country. And that goes into now the sports levy also that the listener mentioned, that I've spoken about on here many times. We don't hear from the ministry when it's happening. It's always, oh, it's in the works. But when it was campaigning time, when it was election time, you know, these things are being told to us that they're coming as soon as possible. But so far, you can see the results for yourself, not only with the sports levy, with many things that they told us during the election time. And now they said, at least for the near future, Ministry of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sports, Arts and Culture, said they're not handing out any more money. They're done. So, local sports, you have to fend for yourself, make your own money. Might have to look to South Africa like United Rugby did. They went to South Africa and managed to get 1.5 million. So maybe we have to look outside as well. Now all the other sporting federations, whether it's football, cricket we know does that already, whether it's swimming, cycling, boxing, especially boxing, all the dozens and dozens of federations we have. Your tap has been turned off. So yeah, only time will tell where sports in this beautiful nation of ours is going to end up. And a good question about the Sam Nujoma Stadium. You know, they said they appointed a contractor and all of that. They're doing busy fixing the foundational structure, I guess you could call it, of the stadium. But according to this listener, he doesn't see any work happening there. So who knows what the update is there. But we can only wait. That's all we could do is wait and see how things will get fixed. And then speaking of African football at the World Cup, Senegal fired their coach, that is Papetio, after honestly a disappointing World Cup campaign. Started off badly, kind of got saved by being able to play against Iraq, beat Iraq, were on their way to beat Belgium, and then I just don't know what happened. It was quite disappointing, quite hurtful to see even them crumble in that way in the last 8 or so minutes against Belgium. They could have made it through to the quarterfinals easily. Or to the round of 16 it would have been, excuse me. Could have made it through easily. Definitely some coaching malpractice. We spoke about the things happening behind the scenes at Senegal. And speaking of that, I'm going to play you some snippets from interviews done by none other than the man that they call JJ Okocha. Super Eagles legend, African footballing legend, speaking about some of the trials and tribulations of African football. We'll also hear from John Obi Mikel, who was doing a similar interview. But let's start with JJ speaking about when when Nigeria won the 1996 Olympics, which was a historic moment, of course, in the world of sport, not just for the continent. But let's take a listen to what he had to say.
Olympics 1996, Atlanta 1996. And yes, it is special to me because of what we went through. You know, people only see the end product, but they don't really see the process. You know?
What was the process like?
The process was tough. We were in camp in America, and we woke up one day. Our training coach was gone. You know, the boss that we...
Where had it gone?
They took it with the spare key because the FA hadn't paid.
The FA, the Nigerian FA?
Yes.
So- this is in 1996, by the way. Almost... Well, exactly 30 years ago. What JJ just described about the coach not getting paid and then he left, basically similar to what happened to the Senegal coach. So it talks about there were reports of him not being paid until, you know, hours before a particular match that they were playing in the World Cup. So 30 years on, seems as though Africa hasn't learned a thing. But let's continue to listen to what JJ had to say.
They hadn't paid for the bus to take you.
Yeah. Yeah. And then... For like a week, the hotel, we were giving us the same menu, the same meal.
Yes. What was the meal?
So we went.
Do you remember it? No, I need to know. What was that meal?
It was just like rice and sauce every day. Rice and sauce, rice and sauce. You know, so we went.
But with some meat at least.
Yes, yes. Okay, with chicken. Okay. Chicken sauce rice and rice. Yeah. For like a week. So we went.
For breakfast, lunch and dinner or?
But just for dinner. Breakfast is for everyone. Yeah. You know, but then for lunch and dinner, the same meal. So we went to them and said, how come, you know, you're not changing our menu. Yes. But they said we should be glad that we're still here because our FA have not paid.
For the food?
Yeah, and for the accommodation.
Again, similar to what we heard was coming from the Senegal camp.
Hey. So we had to, few of us, you know, had to bring our card and pay for accommodation and then went and rented minivans, you know, to stay in camp.
My goodness.
You know.
JJ is basically saying the players on the team that had the money had to fund the money. Had to fund the camp, essentially, of Nigeria's Olympic football team. This is the team that won the Olympics, by the way. Those are the conditions that they won under. So again, another snippet from this exact interview.
But to be honest, not yet, you know, because the platform does not allow us to get involved, you know.
He's responding to a question from the interviewer about why don't former players, you know, the big stars, pour back into the Nigerian game?
How's that possible?
Because there should be a structure in place. If you're coming in as an investor, you should get value for your money, you know. And if the league is not interesting, you can get value for your money. You know, if you don't get people to follow the league that you're investing in, how do you get your value?
Yeah. NFA or all the other sports federation, this is exactly the problem that majority of you have, what he just described here.
Yeah. You know, so maybe that's one of the reasons why some of us did not invest in football in Africa, because also we're limited to the funds that is available for us, and we have to make sure that we manage it. But to be honest.
Next, I want you to hear from John Obi Mikel, who expressed something similar.
Talk about the corruption where a budget has been signed by the government and somebody sitting on top of that money, didn't release that money, and we are all sitting at the hotel about to fly to, I think it was Rio, yeah. Mm.
So this is John Obi Mikel, also a Nigerian football player, speaking about the 2014 Olympic, his 2014 Olympic experience. Remember that what I played you now from JJ Okocha was from 1996. So the Nigerian FA didn't learn a thing, and John Obi Mikel experienced the same thing.
And everyone's thinking, how are we going to get there? There was no money to pay for flight. There was nothing to do. The players were worried. And for most of those players, it's their first time of going to a major tournament. So I thought, why not? I spoke to the coach, said, how can you find a plane? Look for a plane, and I had to pay for it. I had to fund it.
Oh, my God.
And we got there. we got there, and I thought, okay, now I'm gonna get reimbursed my money. Up till today, I still haven't
received. Really?
No.
But then your nation, you go there, what, you finish third in the
exactly.
Olympics, so you get a medal, and you've still not been.
Nope.
But is that crazy? Is that not getting reimbursed as a? Is that like a just a dish?
Finished, won a bronze medal for your nation at the Olympics. What does the FA do? Doesn't repay them. So, you know, when people ask, why are Africans playing for, you know, people of African heritage, African parents, maybe even born in Africa, but those that are eligible to play for European countries, why are they playing for European countries? It's things like this, you know. If I'm a binational, if I'm someone who's eligible to play for Spain, to play for France, to play for Switzerland, to play for Sweden, to play for England, to play for Belgium, you know, these countries. If my passport, my lineage allows me to do that, and I'm good enough to be in the team, why would I opt for this alternative that these players just described? For what good reason would I want to do that? I want to play at the highest level of sport. I don't want to have to worry about if my coach will quit his job a day before the match. I don't want to have to worry about transport. I don't have to worry about food. Why should I do that? In the name of what? You know, this is the quiet part that many people don't think about, don't discuss when they're saying things like France is an African team. Those Africans, if they have the option of France and the option of what John Obi Mikel and JJ Okocha just described, why would they pick the second option? It just doesn't make sense. So we don't help ourselves as well. And kudos to those guys that still, you know, make that choice. But also a harsh reality of that part is those guys that are eligible to play for some of these European teams and end up playing for African teams, it's simply because you weren't good enough to play for the European team, because if you were, you would have been playing there. You know, I'm talking about guys like Alex Iwobi. I'm talking about guys like Tuan Zebe. You know, players of that ilk. Lookman. Who, me personally as a football fan, yes, I'm excited to see them play for African teams. Brought us a lot of joy. We saw at this World Cup how, you know, the talent is there. It's never been a question of talent. But there's a difference why there's this term called world class. Now, you know, these nations, we're talking about your France, we're talking about your England, we're talking about your Spain. These are world class teams and you have to be a world class talent. So if you maybe just marginally missed that gap between being a good player and a world class player, which by the way is, we're talking about the top 0.5% of the world's population. It's nothing to be ashamed about if you don't reach that level. But that is now when you end up playing for Nigeria, you end up playing for DR Congo, you end up playing for your Ghana and, you know, things of that nature. So we need to help ourselves also when it comes to this football talent development thing. I mean, you look at Morocco, more than half of Morocco's full squad, talking about the 23, 25 players, more than half were not born in Morocco, but they chose to play for Morocco. Why? Because it was attractive to play for Morocco. We saw what Morocco has been building. We see what they've invested into sport. So some of these guys, you know, like your Hakimis, Hakimi is someone that would have been good enough to play for France, but he chose Morocco. So other African countries have to create the environment where these guys that are in Hakimi's predicament. Actually, I think he was born in Spain, but you get the point. The players that are in Hakimi's predicament choose the African side. But when the African side is offering what Mikel and Okocha just explained, there's no logical reason as to why the player would choose the African side. But anyways, I want us to listen to Norway. Norway is another example of what proper preparation on a country level can do for your nation when it comes to sports. Let's hear the short excerpt.
Norway has been by far the world's most dominant sporting nation per capita, but it goes far beyond winter sports, and there's a very specific reason why. I have yet to hear this discussed once during the World Cup. Sure, they just set the all-time record with 18 golds at the Winter Olympics, but they also have one of the world's top golfers, top footballers, sprinters, top beach volleyball teams, and a triathlete with the highest VO2 max ever recorded. All of this comes from a country with fewer people than the Houston metro area. None of this is by accident. Norway has a national policy called Children's Rights in Sports that mandates no official scorekeeping before age 13. There's also no travel teams, national championships for kids, and no club is allowed to stop a child from playing another sport. That last part is massive for blocking burnout, which is a huge problem in America, where 70% of kids quit by 13. Haaland is the perfect example. As a kid, he played handball, ran track, and even golf before specializing in his teens. Here's my favorite part, though. Their government has played 4D chess with sports gambling. Norway has a state-run betting monopoly called Norse Tipping. By law, all profit flows back to the people. Every year, roughly $400 million is earmarked for sports. It's pumped into categories like renovating facilities, local clubs, sports science, and most importantly, youth rec teams. Now, it's become popular to suggest that the reason Norway thrives in the global stage is their Viking genes, but do not be mistaken. This brilliant nation is succeeding because they're passionate and because their leaders have gone to great lengths to design long-term solutions for their youth athletes. If you want to...
There it is. Their leaders have gone through great lengths to design long-term solutions for their young athletes. The last one he mentioned, $400 million. Per year goes to all sports gambling profits go directly to youth sporting programs. That's an example of a sports levy in action, not just on paper. Then, unfortunately, we do have to report on some sad news. Like the one caller alluded to. This is regarding South African and Mamelodi Sundowns midfielder Jaden Adams, who died at the age of 25. This was, the reports say this occurred yesterday. They say that his body was found at a home in Cape Town, and the police opened an inquest to investigate exactly the circumstances that led to his death. And no official cause of death has been reported by the authorities, at least none that I've seen. And more unfortunate news is we have a Lukobo Makwedini, who also went by the name Bebo, was a rugby player, South African rugby player, who represented South Africa at the under 18 level, passed away after collapsing in training at his team in France. And this was at the Stade de la Goyne and was rushed to hospital where reports say he passed away a few hours later. Again, also no official word as to what the cause of death was there. But in some slightly more positive news, again, a South African athlete. Most of you might have seen this already, but the Bafana Bafana star, Bafana Bafana star, Relobile Mofokeng, he completed a multi-million euro transfer to Belgian Pro League side Royal Union Saint-Gilloise. Mofokeng is 21 years old, and if you were watching the World Cup, you would have seen him give us some exciting cameos at the World Cup. He signed a 4-year contract that runs until 2030. This follows, of course, his good World Cup as well as his great season with Orlando Pirates. And now, you know, many people were watching this World Cup and were thinking, you know, players like him, players like Mbokazi, the defender, why don't we actually see South Africans go straight to the English Premier League? Because that's the league that we're all familiar with. And, you know, our good friend at Cash and Sport actually did a piece on this that I'd like us to listen to.
Why can't Rele Mofokeng move straight to England?
Well, he could. But it's incredibly difficult because of something called GBE. Let me explain. South Africans have played in England for years, but they did so under very different regulatory systems to the one that exists today. In the 1990s and early 2000s, players like Lucas Radebe, Phil Masinga, Mark Fish and Sean Bartlett moved under the old work permit regime where clubs applied directly to the Home Office and had to show that the player was an established international who would make a significant contribution to a club. Quinton Fortune's move to Manchester United also fell into this pre-point system where international caps and reputation carried heavy weight. Later, players such as Stephen Pienaar, Benny McCarthy, Aaron Mokoena, Bongani Khumalo and old John Mabuzela also benefited from a slightly more structured version of that same system, where regular appearances or reasonably ranked national teams helped secure work permits, but there was still more flexibility than there is today. There was also a separate route that sometimes applied in English sport, more broadly known as the Colpack ruling. This came from a 2003 European Court of Justice decision, which allowed players from certain countries with EU trade agreements to be treated similarly to EU players, meaning they did not count as foreign players for quota purposes. While Colpack was used far more in cricket than in football, it formed part of the wider landscape that made it easier for non-EU players, including some from Southern Africa, to access European leagues at the time. All of that changed after Brexit. The UK left the EU, the Colpack system fell away, and English football introduced the current governing body endorsement point system, or GBE. This is how the system works. In practice, before a Premier League or an EFL club can bring in a player from outside the UK or Ireland, that player needs to satisfy the FA's endorsement criteria. So the question is no longer just, is the player good enough? It's also, does the player's profile score enough points for a work permit? Under the FA system, the cleanest and easiest route is an automatic pass through international appearances. International appearances can help a player in two different ways. First, they can give a player an automatic pass. Second, if the player doesn't get an automatic pass, they can still give him points towards a 15-point GBE threshold or minimum requirement. The FA looks at this by calculating two things: the player's national team ranking band, and second, the percentage of available senior competitive international matches that the player appeared in. For a senior player, the FA normally looks at the previous 24 months before the GBE application. For a youth player, it looks at the previous 12 months. If fewer than 30% of the national team's matches in that period were competitive matches, friendlies can also be included. Unfortunately, South Africa's ranking disqualifies Mofokeng, and this is how. If a player represents a country ranked between 1st and 10th on the FIFA rankings, he can automatically qualify for GBE by playing in at least 30% of senior competitive international matches for his country, while those who play less matches can still earn 8 to 10 points for that country. For countries ranked 11th to 20th, a player needs to play in at least 40% of matches to qualify automatically, while those who play less can still earn 7 to 10 points. For countries ranked 21st to 30th, a player needs to play in at least 60% of matches to qualify automatically, and those who play less can still earn 7 to 10 points. For countries ranked 31st to 50th, a player needs to play in at least 70% of matches to qualify automatically, while those who play less can still earn 6 to 10 points. But once a country is ranked 51st or lower, there is no automatic qualification at all, and the maximum number of GBE points you can earn is 2, regardless of the number of caps that you have. Mofokeng is disqualified because South Africa is ranked 54th. Now the next most important factor is the club that the player plays for, or the league that the player plays in. The Football Association doesn't treat all leagues equally. It divides leagues into bands. The higher the band, the more value a player's minutes carry. Band 1 has the English Premier League, Bundesliga, La Liga, Serie A, and League 1 in France. Band 2 has the Portuguese Premier League, the Eredivisie in the Netherlands, the Belgian First Division A, which is where Union Saint-Gilloise is, the Brazilian Serie A, and the English Championship. Band 3 has the MLS, where Mbogazi plays, the Argentinian Premier Division, Liga Mexico, the Turkish Super League, and the Scottish Premiership. Band 4 is the Czech League, the Croatian League, the Swiss Super League, La Liga 2, Bundesliga 2, the Ukrainian Premier League, the Greek Super League, the Colombian Premier League, Austrian Bundesliga, the Danish Super League, the Japanese J1 League, and France's League 2. Band 5 has the Serbian League, the Polish League, the Chilean Premier League, Uruguay's League, the Swedish League, the Norwegian League, the Italian Serie B, the Hungarian League, the South Korean K1 League, the Australian A League, and the EFL League 1. Band 6 is every league not listed in bands 1 to 5. That means, for English work permit purposes, South Africa's domestic football falls into band 6. The FA assigns points to each band as follows. Band 1 leagues award 12 points, band 2 leagues award 10 points, band 3 leagues award 8 points, band 4 leagues award 6 points, band 5 leagues award 4 points, and band 6 leagues award 2 points. Because Mofokeng doesn't qualify based on points, there is only one last option for him to go directly to England, and that's an ESC slot, or an Elite Significant Contribution exemption. It's designed specifically to help English clubs secure global talent who fall short of the standard 15-point Brexit work permit threshold. And the best example of a South African player is Tylan Smith. He went to the under-20 AFCON last year in 2025 and won the player of the tournament, which then got him a deal to go to the Queen's Park Rangers Football Club under an elite exemption. That's a typical example of what would need to happen for a player like Mofokeng in order to get an elite exemption status. But it's very difficult to get, and very few players ever get an elite exemption, and this is why. Premier League and Championship sides are restricted to a maximum of 2 to 4 ESC slots per season, with the exact allocation determined by the amount of playing time the club afforded English qualified players in the prior campaign. Because these slots operate as a highly competitive and limited currency, an English club could only register Mofokeng if they have an active and unused ESC vacancy. And this is why Baldum isn't just a detour. It's a regulatory upgrade. Brille doesn't become talented just because he plays in Belgium. He's already talented. What changes is that his talent is now attached to a league and a club profile that England's own system values. And unfortunately, it just doesn't value South Africa at the moment. And this is why we think this is a good move for Urile Mofokeng. If you've gotten this far in the video, thank you so much for watching.
Explanation of how things work behind the scenes. It's not always as simple as we might think as fans. Now, you know, staying on the theme of African sports, I want us to hear from the man himself, that is Mr. PLO, that is Professor Lumumba. He recently did an interview about sports. I was very intrigued. I don't think I've ever seen him speak about sports before. And so, you know, here on the Eagle Sports Zone, we are Pan-Africanists. So, let's take a listen to what...
When you see the World Cup and you see the French team, you could as well say that it is the United Nations of Africa that you are talking about. I am Pierre Lumumba here at the Swara Acacia, which is situated in Athi River in Machakos County in the Republic of Kenya. And today we talk about a subject that is very contemporary, African sports. And in order to appreciate African sports, it is important to ask ourselves, what contribution do Africans make in the sporting world? In its very diverse dimensions, whether it is in boxing, it is athletics, it is gymnastics, and sports understood in its widest sense. With a population of nearly 1.5 billion, one expects that African countries should play a very prominent role in international sports, and indeed, they do, but they do so in very interesting ways. If you take athletics, for example, across the world, when you have our sporting men and women competing in different ways and in different countries, you find them in European countries representing France, representing the United Kingdom, representing Spain, representing the Arab world, in Bahrain, representing Qatar, representing the United States of America. And the question is, why do they do so in the athletics world? In football, If you look at the European leagues, particularly the leagues in the United Kingdom, the leagues in Italy, the leagues in Spain, you once again find Africans playing football in those leagues and therefore making a prominent contribution. If you go to the marathon circuit in the Western world or in the United States of America, and a lot more recently in China, Japan, and even South Korea, you find African athletes in those spaces. You look at the Diamond Leagues, which are largely run in the European countries, you find African athletes. And yet, there is a sense in which African countries do not benefit from those spaces in terms of the commercialization of sports. And sports must be understood very broadly. The question, therefore, that we must ask is, why is it that African countries are not benefiting from sports in the manner that they should? And there are a number of reasons. Number one is investment in sports. Do African governments invest in sports? No, very minimally. Yet, ironically and paradoxically at once, there is not a single African country that does not have a ministry for sports. And you look at African countries, major African countries, such as Nigeria, whose sporting men and women are to be found outside of the continent in the United Kingdom and in different spaces, yet at home, when there are competitions, Nigerians are not represented by men and women who work and are trained in Nigeria. You'll find some of them to have been trained in the United States under the collegiate system, because notwithstanding that we have ministries of sport, the investment in those areas is very minimal. And you can say that of Ghana, which is another major country, which in the early days used to be renowned for producing short distance athletes, but that has now disappeared. When you come to the eastern part of Africa, you have athletes from Kenya who are renowned in the marathon space, who are renowned in the long distance spaces. And you have Ethiopians who are renowned in the same long distance spaces. But if you look very carefully, you will discover that the individuals who are involved in these spaces are as athletes. Number one, they train under the guidance of European managers, agents, and coaches, notwithstanding that you have ministries of sport and governments which say that they are interested in promoting sports. So in that regard, you find that many African countries do not derive their benefit from the sports in as much as they should do. The question then is, beyond investment, what is the other problem that bedevils African sports? It has been said that corruption is one of the issues. We have had testimonies from athletes in different countries who say, when I wanted to participate in sports in my country, I was not allowed to do so by the sporting associations unless I paid money. Then the Bahrain government came. Then the Qatari government came and they offered to build my mother or my parents a house, and I chose to change my citizenship from Bahrain and I went to Bahrain. I now fly the Bahraini flag. I went to Qatar. I'm now flying the flag of Qatar. The third thing outside of corruption in African sporting arena is yet another debilitating factor, that of the absence of commercialization of sports. Let us take football. You went to Ghana, you had clubs such as Asante Kotoko. When you went to Zimbabwe, you had clubs which you went to, Mufulira Wanderers, Zamalek of Egypt, and many others. Yet somehow, in the footballing space, there is no commercialization of football. And what Africans are therefore doing is to focus their attention on the English league or the Italian league or the Spanish league or the Portuguese league or the Saudi Arabia league or indeed the Japanese league. And I'm told they now even look at the South Korean league. In other words, what we are seeing is what can mildly be described as sporting colonization. Why do I call it sporting colonization? I call it sporting colonization because talent hunters from Europe come to the continent of Africa and hunt young people at the ages of 9 and then take them away to the academies in Italy, to the academies in the United Kingdom, to academies in Spain. And then they are incubated. And by the time they are of the age that they can make a decision, they have been made nationals of those countries. And when you see the World Cup and you see the French team, you could as well say that it is the United Nations of Africa that you are talking about. And this sporting colonization has a reason because African governments do not invest in sports, with the consequence that young people literally have no choice but to go out there and to look for opportunities which will help them commercially and also help them to develop their talent. The other thing that afflicts African sport is that African sport has remained very traditional. So that our focus in Africa is athletics. We are either doing the 800 meters or the steeplechase or the 1,500 meters. We do not recognize that you can have sporting in areas such as gymnastics. We do not recognize that we can have talent in the swimming arena. We do not recognize that we can have talent in the field games. The net effect is that Africa is not enjoying the dividends of sport, and we are not enjoying the dividends of the commercialization of sport. If you look at some of the European leagues, let's look at football, for example, and you look at the amount of money that is generated annually by the British League, is bigger than the GDP of some countries. It is bigger. The English League generates more money than the GDP of Burundi, the GDP of Lesotho, the GDP of Equatorial Guinea, the GDP of Eswatini. And you can say that also of the Spanish League, which tells you that if there was greater organization, sports could be a major contributor to the economies of African countries. The clarion call, therefore, is that African countries, in their quest to give pride of place to sport, so that it is not only recreational, but it is also commercial, must now begin to look at sports from a totally different angle. It is very interesting that when we have African events, take for example, if you have the All African Games, the investment of African governments is very minimal. The enthusiasm of African athletes is also very minimal because the compensation that they receive is equally minimal and does not energize or encourage young Africans to participate in sports. It is also noteworthy that if you look at the facilities that are available for sportsmen and women, sometimes they are very rudimentary. In the early days, for example, there were quite a number of Africans who were very active in the boxing sector or in the weightlifting sector. But what has happened over the years, because of minimal investment in these areas, we have many of these individuals running away to countries which can offer them opportunity. And in the recent past, I've seen something that is very interesting. Quite a number of institutions outside of the continent of Africa are offering education scholarships that are pegged on sports, so that you are admitted at a university in the United States of America, you are admitted at a university in the United Kingdom, you are admitted at a university in China or in Japan or in Korea, because you are a sports person and you are going to make a contribution, because even collegiate sports in some parts of the world is also a money spinner. Going forward, therefore, sports is one of the areas that I think African countries should unite and ensure that they are encouraged. It is not lost on me that we have tournaments of different kinds which are regional, and they are conducted in Western Africa or Southern Africa or Eastern Africa and Central Africa. And of course, we have the All African Games, and we also have participation in football. But Africa should now deliberately try to ensure that before you go to the World Champions, before you go to the Olympics, you have a mini Olympics under the aegis of African Union, which will enable African sportsmen and women to hone their talents. And this requires that there is investment. In fact, one of the suggestions that I would boldly make, that African government should deliberately try to ensure that at least 2% of their GDP is invested in sports, for the commercial aspect of it, for the recreational aspect of it, for the health aspect of it, and for the mental aspect of it. Otherwise, this sports colonization will continue to the detriment of Africa, and it will continue to erode patriotism. Sometimes it is very interesting when an individual who spends 90% of their time in African countries, when there is a sports competition, suddenly they are wearing the sports jersey of another country. And when they win, it is the national anthem of that country that is played. And I think that this idea that African athletes are bought like you buy horses is something that should not be allowed to happen. Thank you.
That was Professor Lumumba giving us some insight on sport. You know, it's great to hear the professor speak about sport. I don't think I've ever heard him speak about sport before. You know, if I had one wish here on the Eagle Sports Zone, is to get the professor on. We will try one day. There's someone knocking at my door.
Get the professor on.
Eagle FM, good evening.
We will try one day. There's someone knocking. Yeah, sorry to come back.
Yes.
Yeah, the professor, he put it on the ice on the cake.
Yeah.
On the spot. Because remember one thing, this is what we have been talking on the first when we start the program. Quota investment is the one who's killing our sports men and women.
Exactly.
And the Copa girl is one of them, the example. You see now. The problem is that why people are choosing to play to other countries is because we see that nobody care about sport. Especially the professor is like talking about Namibia. If you have a president who can organize a trip to China where people are forking out like 40,000 for a flight ticket. Why should you not do that with sports?
Yeah.
Huh? People, if you take how much money is, if you put those 40,000 a ticket, then you count 240 people. How much money? How many millions? It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And that money can even find our what? NFA. You see?
Exactly.
The problem is that I think our priority is not what we're supposed to be. We better organize those trips rather than fundraising for sports in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine that money, if you put it on the spot. How many millions? Because I'm just talking about a flight alone. Talk about accommodation, transport. How much money they left there?
Mm-hmm.
You see? The problem I see here is that sometimes when we do things, and our business people, they are more in fundraising politician than the sport.
Yeah.
And the sport is where the people who are supporting their business, where they operate. It's the people who are supporting them, and they are the one in the sport. But if you say fundraising for politician, everybody's jumping in the wagon without even a question mark. But if you go there now, then you request a company to sponsor you. They're even asking what it's for me.
Exactly.
But you know, we are advertising your t-shirt. When it's printed out, we are advertising with your company, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, I think we need to change that narrative. Because I'm telling you, even this country, when we are crying about youth unemployment, it's something which can be handled by sports.
Yeah, definitely.
We have a good example of, you know, this K kid was snapping the phone. Hey, friend, this kid can run nicely. Therefore, if you put them in the what? On the track field, we can have a lot of meters.
Yeah, they must put their talents to good use.
Yeah. Take away the criminal activity in their mind, put them in sports. That's why people are not opting to go to sport, because we are not supported. People are not supported. Just imagine even the kid. You go there to look the boots with they are wearing.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a company making millions every day here, but they are not supported. The last time I was like, you know, we have money in social security, which we don't know what is to ask for there. They are just waiting for us to die as a man. And some women, even they're opting to give birth. Mm. And the money are just piling up in social security, but they are not even throwing back to the community.
Mm.
What we see there is just a kabazari for 3 people, 4 people. What about to start engaging, like maybe a second division is supported by social security. A third division is JPF.
Exactly.
Premier League T-shirt is NAMPOWER.
Yeah.
Some booties are bought by NAMWATER. What about that?
Mm.
Ah, man. You cannot... That's what I'm saying. Ah, we can blame even the coach.
What does Nore do in sport?
Mm. They don't do nothing. But when you see them going for their organization, engaging in sport for their own people, you see they're even spending like 2 million.
Well, yeah, the SOE games.
Mm. Mm. For, yeah, SOE team, yeah.
Mm.
But seriously, I think it's a hard time we start questioning those companies.
Yeah,
what is
true.
Their social responsibility when it comes to the people who are saving?
Exactly.
Anyway, let me end up there. But really, I think Master Lumumba, you put it on the spot.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
This is what we are become brain drain and the talent drain.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are leaving. Who can get the opportunity to go to England and refuse? Exactly. We know how English Premier League is.
Exactly.
You see? This is a problem I think we are creating in the long run as a Namibian. That's why we have a kid who are born by Namibian, but they are opting to play for somewhere in Finland.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Waiting to get that opportunity. When you come to Namibia, maybe, if it's not good enough for Finland, it's where you see he's coming to Namibia to play for Namibia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Serious is a problem, my brother. Let me end up there.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Yes, thank you for calling the number in the series 0832-888-401. We'll take one more short musical break and then we will wrap up here on the Eagle Sports Zone. Remember, if you haven't subscribed to the Villager newspaper yet, simply send us a WhatsApp message and give us your email address so that we can send you the paper every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free for your latest and greatest in business and economic news. For now, let's listen to the sounds of the king himself, that is Mr. Bob Marley. We'll be back right after this.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been another great edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. Make sure to catch the Village newspaper being published bright and early tomorrow morning. You can catch it on our social media pages, or you can become a subscriber yourself by sending us a WhatsApp message at 081-241-44. Make sure to save the number as a contact. And we will be back same time, same place next week, Sunday, here on the Eagle Sports Zone. Thank you for tuning in, and a pleasant week ahead.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.